Former employer not entitled to proceeds of purported key man policy. The case is the State of Smith versus Primerica Life Insurance Company, case number 21-3196, 8th Circuit, November 23, 2022. The case is on appeal from the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Missouri, Judge Wimes. Issue: what portion of life insurance policy proceeds, if any, is a former boss employer who took out the policy on an employee entitled to in the absence of a finding that they agreed that the policy was for the benefit of that boss employer? Holding: the employer corporation is entitled to nothing. The former boss is entitled only to the premium she paid out over the life of the policy. Summary of the case. In 1989, Primerica issued a 20-year, $100,000 policy on the life of Charles Smith. His employer, Kansas City Chrome Shop, or KCCS, a Kansas corporation, was listed as the owner and named beneficiary of the policy. The premiums were paid by KCCS President Dora Clark Wall. Smith stopped working for Primerica around 1994. That same year, KCCS was dissolved as a corporation. In 2010, Primerica renewed the policy for another 20 years and increased the payout to $225,000. Mr. Smith passed away in 2018. The Smith estate, KCCS, and Clark Wall all put in claims for the proceeds. The Smith estate eventually filed suit against Primerica for breach of contract in Missouri State Court. Following removal to federal court, Primerica filed an interpleader, deposited the funds into an interest-bearing account, and was dismissed as a party. KCCS and Clark Wall filed a breach of contract claim against the Smith estate, alleging that the policy had been obtained pursuant to an agreement with Smith for the policy to go toward unpaid loans that had been made to him during his lifetime. KCCS and Clark Wall also submitted their loan-based claims in the state court probate action. Following a bench trial, the probate court ruled in favor of the estate against both claimants. First, the court held that KCCS lacked standing due to its 1994 dissolution. Clark Wall's individual claim failed on the merits, as the court found that she had failed to establish entitlement to repayment for any personal loans. The Missouri Court of Appeals affirmed both rulings. KCCS fared no better in federal court. The court found that, in light of the state court's determination that KCCS was dissolved as a corporation in 1994, KCCS was collaterally estopped from asserting that it was a living beneficiary under the policy at the time of Smith's death. However, after a bench trial on Clark Wall's claims, the court determined that she was entitled to repayment of the premiums under an unjust enrichment theory and ordered that she be reimbursed from the policy proceeds. Though it did allow her any interest that accrued following Primerica's deposit of the funds, it denied her request for prejudgment interest. On appeal, KCCS and Clark Wall sought review of various adverse rulings. The court first addressed KCCS and Clark Wall's challenge to the district court's collateral estoppel ruling. Though conceding that the other collateral estoppel elements set forth under Missouri law were satisfied, they argued that the first element, which requires that the issue for which collateral estoppel is asserted in the present action is identical to the one that was determined in the prior action, was not. Looking to Missouri law on standing, Kansas corporation law, and Supreme Court precedent, the court determined that even though the courts were not addressing the same ultimate issues, the federal court's inquiry as to whether KCCS was eligible to claim the insurance funds had its underpinnings in the precise question of corporate status that the probate court answered. Quote, in the state action, the court had to resolve as a threshold matter whether KCCS had standing to sue. See CACH LLC versus Askew, 358 Southwest 3rd 58. Because dissolved corporations generally lack authority to sue, Gunter v. Bono, 914 Southwest 2nd 437, the standing question led the court to consider KCCS's corporate status. Applying Kansas law, the court found that KCCS forfeited its articles of incorporation in 1991 and had until 1994 to settle its affairs, at which point it dissolved. See 7 Kansas Statutes Annotated, Section 176807. In the federal action, the district court had to determine whether KCCS was a living beneficiary at the time of Smith's death in 2018, such that it was entitled to the Primerica policy proceeds. Whether a corporation is a living beneficiary under a life insurance policy depends on that corporation's corporate status. If the corporation is dissolved, it is not living. See Chicago Title and Trust Company v. 4136 Wilcox Building Corp., 302 U.S. 120. A private corporation in this country can exist only under the express law of the state or sovereignty by which it was created. Its dissolution puts an end to its existence, the result of which may be likened to the death of a natural person. Menard v. Snyder Brothers Company, 964 Southwest 2nd 487, observing that a forfeited corporation ceases to exist as a legal entity. End of quote. Therefore, the court determined, the federal action therefore presented the same issue of KCCS's corporate status that the state court already adjudicated. Accordingly, the district court properly held that the state court's determination that KCCS had dissolved in 1994 barred KCCS from asserting it that it was a living beneficiary in 2018. In a footnote, the court disposed of KCCS and Clark Wall's claim that the state court ignored the fact that KCCS's corporate status was reinstated during the course of the case. The court noted that these arguments had been presented to and rejected by the state court, and besides, even assuming an error of law, the state court determination would still have preclusive effect in the federal action. The court then moved to Clark Wall's claims for breach of contract and novation. As shown by the panel's summary of the evidence and factual conclusions of the district court, the main barrier to success was that the court simply did not believe her testimony or find the other evidence submitted on her behalf supportive of her position. Regarding her breach of contract claim, the court stated, "The only evidence of any such argument is Clark Wall's testimony that Smith was considered KCCS's key man, that he asked me to buy an insurance policy so that if something would happen to him, I could regain part of the money for the loans, and that he encouraged her to continue making premium payments. The policy itself does not refer to any obligation by Smith concerning loan repayment. Nor does it say that a claim for the proceeds by Smith's estate would be a breach of its terms. Indeed, it expressly provided that Smith's estate would be entitled to the proceeds if there was no living beneficiary." The district court found that neither Clark Wall's testimony nor any other evidence demonstrated the existence of any agreement that Smith's estate might have breached when it asked Primerica for the policy proceeds. End of quote. And because a claim for novation requires a previous valid obligation, the ruling that there was no initial agreement foreclosed a finding in Clark Wall's favor. Finding no clear error, the court affirmed on these points. The panel then addressed the argument that the court should have held the Smith estate's claim to the policy equitably estopped or waived due to Smith's allowing Clark Wall to maintain the policy. It ruled in favor of the Smith estate on this issue as well. Quote, "Neither equitable estoppel nor waiver is plausible. The district court did not find that Smith even knew about the policy or Clark Wall's continued premium payments. Indeed, it expressly found that Clark Wall renewed the policy without Smith's assent. We find no clear error. Obviously, if Smith did not know that Clark Wall was making payments or that the policy even existed, his supposed inaction would be neither inconsistent with nor a waiver of his estate's claim to the proceeds." See Ryan v. Ford, 16 Southwest 3rd, 644. To invoke equitable estoppel, a party must show by clear evidence that there was a representation made by the party estopped, which may be manifested by affirmative conduct, either acts or words, or by silence amounting to concealment of material facts. These facts must be known to the party estopped and unknown to the other party. Chanawood Holdings, LLC versus 1209 Washington, LLC, 333 Southwest 2nd 480, holding that waiver did not occur where a party paid no heed to or overlooked a deadline mandating action. Accordingly, the district court did not abuse its discretion in implicitly denying Clark Wall's equitable estoppel and waiver defenses. End of quote. Finally, guided by the principle that prejudgment interest is appropriate in interpleader actions only if the principles of fairness and justice so require, the court upheld the denial thereof. While principles of equity justified repaying Clark Wall for the face value of the premiums, given the lack of bad conduct by Smith and the lack of good conduct by Clark Wall, they did not call for anything more. Quote, "We are unpersuaded that the district court abused its discretion by not including prejudgment interest with Clark Wall's equitable award. At the bench trial, Smith's widow and daughter both testified that Smith stopped working for KCCS sometime around 1994, by which point the corporation was dissolved, and that by 1999, Smith no longer owed any debts to KCCS or Clark Wall. Clark Wall nonetheless continued to make monthly premium payments on the Primerica policy for the next 19 years, even renewing it without Smith's assent. Nothing in the record suggests that Clark Wall ever attempted to cancel the policy, turn it over to Smith, or inform Primerica that Smith stopped working for KCCS or that KCCS was dissolved. Given these circumstances, it seems that Clark Wall's continued payments and renewal of the policy were essentially a gamble on Smith's life, a benefit she hoped to reap if he died before she did. The law does not view such conduct favorably. See Lakin v. Postal Life and Casualty Insurance, 316 Southwest 2nd 542. A person cannot take out a valid and enforceable policy of insurance for his own benefit on the life of a person in which he has no insurable interest. Such a policy or contract of insurance is void and unenforceable on the grounds of public policy, it being merely a wagering contract. We therefore fail to see how the principles of fairness and justice demand that Clark Wall be awarded accumulated interest on her payments. See Purcell v. Cape Girardeau County Commission, 322 Southwest 3rd 522, observing that litigants with unclean hands generally may not obtain equitable relief. Accordingly, we find no abuse of discretion in the district court's equitable award to Clark Wall. End of quote. Accordingly, the court affirmed. End of decision.